Tammy, and we are continuing our Narrating Ordained Women with Lisa Fahey. Really glad to have you on. She has posted her profile on Ordained Women, and we're going to discuss her story a little bit. How are you doing, Lisa?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Good. Lisa, tell us a little bit about who you are, where you live, your career, your children, your family, and so forth.
I live in San Francisco, and I'm really blessed to live here. I am divorced and have been for a long time, and I don't have any children.
Okay.
I'm a graphic designer, and I'm like fifth generation Mormon on both sides.
Wow.
Pioneer stock. I went on a mission to Peru, which was super, super fun. I loved it. Met some really cool women there. It was kind of, I don't know, I felt like it was when women were, it was cool to go on a mission and not, you know, not cool. So
anyway, what was the year?
We're still my really good friends. So
what was the year that you went on a mission?
It'll date me. 1984 and 85.
Oh, okay. Okay. And so did you have to wait till you were 21 or 25 back then?
21.
21. Okay.
So part of that was I served in the jungles of Peru, which was very interesting. And so, yeah.
Oh, I bet it was. Did you speak Portuguese or Spanish?
Spanish. It was like Castilian. Really beautiful Spanish is what I like to say. So.
Ooh. Isn't Castilian a little bit almost like Italian kind of?
No, it's Spanish.
So when you got back from your mission, how long until you were married?
I got married at 24, I think. I married a man I met in Southern California who wasn't a member, and he joined for me, which I told him he didn't have to. I didn't really say don't, but he wanted to. And then, so we got married in his parents' backyard, and then a year after his baptism date, we were able to get sealed in the temple. So at that time, we had moved to Utah for whatever reason, and then we got sealed in the temple, and shortly thereafter, I don't know, a few months after that, he quit coming to church, which was fine. And then we moved to Louisiana, and I wasn't sure I could go to church by myself, but I went and met some more cool people. And that's where I actually got divorced, was in Louisiana.
Oh, really?
With French law, because they have French law in Louisiana, which I'm not sure how different it is.
So how long were you married for?
We were married for 6 years, and we're still friends, but he lives abroad. He's kind of an expat, so, but we still email once in a while, and we don't ever want to get back together, but we still care about each other, so, which is really nice. So we had a really amicable divorce, so I feel really lucky.
Yeah, you're really blessed.
It wasn't really bad.
Yeah, I've seen those, and they're not very pleasant. So have you been active most of the time that you've been a member of the church, or how has that been?
That's an interesting question. Actually, I have been active my entire life, except for when I was a freshman at BYU. I couldn't find anyone. Wasn't that out there. I wasn't like a feminist or anything, but I couldn't find my people. And people were just too churchy, some of them. And so, I don't know, I quit going for about 4 months when I was at BYU. But other than that, I've been going to church every Sunday, you know, practically for my entire life.
Yeah, I understand that. When I grew up outside of Utah and when I went to BYU, it was, I guess you said it how I would say it, very churchy. I felt like there was no room for anyone, I don't know, any other kind of representation of being a Mormon. And it wasn't anything outrageous like what you said. You know, I didn't identify as a feminist or whatnot, but it felt like there was very rigid, unspoken rules that it was way too orthodox for me.
Yeah.
So yeah. I understand that. And that's not for everyone's experience. It just, that's what I noticed for myself. So when did you post your profile on Ordained Women, and what prompted you to do that?
So I was looking back, and I was like number 40 on there. So I did it pretty early, but I lost the date. I don't remember. I had it written down somewhere. I was one of the, you know, number 40 to post. Lori Winder Stromberg approached me here in California. We were at some gathering, and she said, "Do you want to help out women?" And I'm like, "Absolutely. What do you want me to do?" And so So first she was talking about doing a video or something, but then I guess it just, then they just turned out to be little profiles up there. I was super excited. So I guess my story, that kind of goes to my story. So I live in California and I've been here since Prop 22, which was another sort of Prop 8. And the first time during Prop 22, I just voted no. Mm-hmm. And I was like kind of upset that the church was so involved in that and had stuff at church and flyers and wanted people to go around knocking doors, and I just couldn't do that, so I just voted no. But then when Prop A came and I lived in San Francisco, that was a whole different experience for me. I got really, really involved in promoting equality in marriage for everyone.
Okay.
So I was really involved with that.
So you became like an LGBT ally.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I was one of the people who did the website Mormons for Marriage.
Mm.
And someone else asked me to do that. Anyway, so then when gay marriage was legal in California, I was thinking one day, I'm like, okay, oh my gosh, women are marginalized in the church too. What can I do? And I actually spoke to Carolyn Pearson. She's like, we need to do something for women. I'm like, what do I do? I didn't know what to do. So a couple months later, Lori said, we're going to do this website and do you want to help, you know, with women equality in the church? And I said, absolutely. So,
wow.
It was really, so I'm like, okay, I'm really glad. I didn't know what it was exactly, but then I'm like, okay.
Right.
And I was kind of shocked about the priesthood thing because I never really wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started thinking, women have to have the priesthood, otherwise it's still not going to be equal. We have all these men in charge, then we're all, you know, the women, we're still second-class citizens, it feels like, unless we get a voice in the upper parts of the church, so.
Right. I think it was Lori who actually said this summer when I went to camp, she was there and somebody said, you know, I'm tired of people saying, well, why do you want the priesthood? And she said, just ask them, why don't you want me to have the priesthood? And it's such a weird question to turn it around back to people. Well, why don't you want me to have the priesthood? You don't want me to have the blessings? You don't want me to share in that service? It changes the perspective. And
what do people say when she says that?
They don't. They just kind of stand there. It's kind of like when women couldn't vote or when Black people couldn't vote. You know, why don't you want me to vote?
Right.
It really turns it around. Sometimes we live so asleep in our consciousness because we're so used to how the world is that when somebody starts to wake us up to what we're asleep in, our first is stirrings, you know, like when you want to wake up to go or don't want to, but when you're woken up to go to work or something, you're like, oh, I don't want to go. And then you realize it's a beautiful day, you're going to see your friends, blah, blah, blah. So it's, you know, you'd rather be awake and living your life.
Right, right, exactly. And I don't know, and I think this whole idea of blessings is so beautiful. I mean, we used to do them, and then it kind of went out of fashion.
Yes. Yeah, there was no doctrine that stopped it. It was just out of trend.
Yeah, and on my mission, actually, we were told we could bless people's houses. And people in Peru, they asked, I got into everybody's door except for, I think, one that I knocked on. And they, you know, asked me to bless their house.
Wow.
And we were told we could do that. So I did that. It was really great. And I always bless my own house when I move in to a new place. There's no oil or,
right.
I don't say the power of the priesthood, but
right.
Bless my house. And giving, I mean, it's also when like women have babies and the men go up and bless them, which is cool. It'd be great if both of them could do that.
Right.
Instead, you know, here's the mom sitting in the audience.
Right.
You know, I had that baby inside for 9 months and you get to bless them. And it just seems a little unfair.
Right.
Anyway, okay. There's more things than that. But anyway, but I'm really happy to support the ordination of women now. I would love to have the priesthood so I could use it.
Right.
Just to help other people.
Well, we'll go back to that in just a second. What kind of experiences have you had since you've been involved with this?
It's been actually really a good experience when I finally sort of came out on the internet that I was for ordained women. I got the most hits ever on my Facebook page. A good number of them were my non-member friends who were like baffled that, you know, what? Your church doesn't let women hold the priesthood. I guess, maybe they just didn't know or whatever. I don't know. I got a lot of support. And let's see, my ward, it's San Francisco, so there's a lot of people who think like me, so I've had a lot of support that way. Mm-hmm. I told my bishop and stake president, Relief Society president, about going to Salt Lake and the first time in October. Yeah, the stake president said that women will probably have the priesthood. Well, he thinks they'll have the priesthood someday. He just didn't think that was the right way to do it, was to go to Salt Lake. But
So did you go to it?
Yeah, I went in October and April, and they were both the most spiritual experiences. It was just, I loved it. I had a lot of support from friends in San Francisco to go. Both of them were really beautiful experiences, and I loved meeting everybody. It was really nice to see more people that I knew. There's another woman in my ward who's got a profile left too, but she hasn't been to any actions.
After having those spiritual experiences, going to the priesthood sessions, did it surprise you with the turn of events that occurred with Kate Kelly and her ecclesiastical leaders?
It really did, especially since mine. I mean, I just got my temple recommend renewed, and my bishop and stake president, and they all know about my involvement. You know, my bishop on Facebook with me, so mm-hmm. he knows everything I've done. So, I was just really surprised. I was really disappointed. That was a really hard thing.
Yeah.
For me, it felt like it gave everybody who didn't agree with me this big
go sign.
Yeah, like, okay, now we can hate you. Right.
Now we can publicly shame you.
Yeah, we're wrong because, see, she got excommunicated. So yeah. So what you're doing must be wrong, and the way you're thinking must be wrong. But
yeah, I hadn't been to church since the general conference in April because of all the hate from people in my ward online. Sorry. And then it was so ironic, Lisa, because the Sunday right before the announcement of Kate Kelly's trial, I thought, you know what, maybe I'll just go back to church this Sunday. I think everything's cooled down. And then the next day they announced it. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. If people weren't self-righteous before in my ward, they would be elated with this, and I wouldn't be able to go in there and just be accepted. And it was so frustrating. I just lost my ability to go. You know, I'd see these things of people that had just gone and seen these lessons on priesthood and that sexism wasn't really a thing. My daughter would come back from someone's house from church and she'd say, Mom, they were making fun of you.
Oh.
Or they heard that I was over at the house and I heard them making sarcastic comics about sexism and about women and the priesthood. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding.
Oh my God.
And she would come home crying. It was ridiculous. In fact, we hadn't been to church and we went into a church in Texas to do a family function.
Uh-huh.
We walked in and my daughter got really quiet and she was standing over in the corner during this family function we were doing. And it was not during a Sunday. So we were all just eating and whatnot. And she asked if she could talk to me privately. We went to another room and she just started crying. She's like, I can't believe that this house that we used to go to every Sunday has pushed us away. She just bawled in my arms and I just held her. Yeah, it's interesting. Did you ever remember the Titans?
No, I didn't.
Okay. There's this one thing where they're trying to integrate the white and the black members of the football team. The white quarterback says to the black defense leader, he's like, you guys have a bad attitude. And the black guy says, with all due respect, attitude reflects leadership. And I have thought of that so much when people have been so hateful and they're like, well, that's just the people. But I'm like, well, what are they reflecting? You know, they're reflecting the violence that is happening with women in the church and taking their temple recommends and their blessings away because they just believe something different.
Yeah, no, I feel super blessed to be in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I mean, no one in my ward has said anything. And in fact, people, I make comments a lot, and mm-hmm. people are really glad that I'm there. So it makes wonderful. Me want to keep going. That's really nice. I attended church this summer in Utah, and they had a fifth Sunday lesson, and the stake president was there. And his three topics were follow the prophet, gay marriage is bad, and the excommunication of Kate Kelly. And I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And I kept thinking, what am I going to say? And I could tell that the couple in front of me she was kind of shaking and crying, and he made a comment about he wasn't sure about the gay marriage thing. He thinks that he thought he was kind of thinking that gays should be able to be married, and but everybody else in the whole room was just kind of in lockstep and kind of hateful. And like, what do I say? What do I say? And I couldn't think of anything to say. But then at the end, and I knew a lot of people in the room, so I was visiting. And as soon as everybody left, it was just me and the state president in the room. I'm like, I have to go talk to him. So I told him that I was for gay marriage and that I was had a profile in ordained women and that there were people in the audience that were crying and shaking while he was talking, and so that I was not the only one in the room that some of the things he said bothered him. And actually the bishop kind of interrupted him once and said that everybody's welcome here. We love everyone. And he was like a super, super nice guy, the state president, you know, he was like smiling the whole time he was saying bad things, you know, like Kay Kelly's excommunicated. So he didn't, I don't know exactly what he said, but you know, the gist of all that was right. So negative with a little smiley face on him.
Yes.
So he just told me to be careful. But I was really glad that I spoke up saying that I wasn't the only one in the room.
Good for you. Good for you, because those people probably are afraid that they're going to lose any kind of social benefits they're getting by saying that.
And they might have, you know.
Yeah. A lot of them have. Back to what you had said before previously, what kind of hopes do you have for this, for ordained women in the LDS Church? What do you see as like your hope or your vision for it?
We've seen some little changes, which are really nice, but I really think actually that women are going to get the priesthood before I die. And I think it's probably going to be in the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think the church can exist without having equality with women and men in the church. And that doesn't mean that we're have to do everything the same.
Mm-hmm.
We could still have really society and priesthood meeting, but I really think that we'll hold the priesthood. We hold it in the temple, mm-hmm. and I say president mentioned that as well, that women already hold priesthood in the temple, and that's my hope, and actually more than hope, I think it's going to happen. And maybe if it doesn't happen in 10 years, maybe 20, but I don't think it's going to take that long. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, sometimes when these causes happen, you see a huge retrenchment and a lot of hatefulness right before there's a change. And I think it's just human nature that when something has been challenged in our normal thinking of life, it's our human nature to lash out and go, no, no. So I'm listening to Ken Follett's Fall of Giants, Winter of the World. And it's amazing to hear the bigotry against Jews and against Black people and to hear them speaking and how normal that was, that was just the given, and that a woman did not work outside the home ever, even if she's single. You know, that was just inappropriate, and especially not to vote. So it's interesting how much we retrench and we hate any change. And then as we start to see the possibilities and our minds kind of open up, boy, we just kind of run towards it. And it's amazing how much more blessed we are because of it.
Yeah. Even if you don't agree with women being ordained at the moment, people are talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you start talking about it, you can start thinking, well, maybe that could happen. I've had some really lovely conversations with people who are brave enough to talk to me who don't think like I am. And I'm not a scary person. So
I don't think you are.
But I don't mean brave enough to bring it up. And I'm really glad that people do, but I haven't had that, you know, like a huge amount of people, but when they do, and we can agree to disagree, and mm-hmm. and it's really great to hear what they think. And I said, well, what if the prophet said it was okay? What would you do? Sometimes that they just not sure how to answer that question, but the prophet said women are getting the priesthood next week or now or tomorrow or whatever, everyone will be fine. And maybe people was like, no. Just like when Blacks got the priesthood, I'm sure some people left.
Yeah.
People aren't going to leave over that. I mean, women make up probably more than half the church.
Yeah. Yeah, you would see a lot more wards spring up because women could carry on leadership ability. It's really about being able to share the responsibility of building the kingdom. That's really all it boils down to. And when it's amazing how much we can glean from each other when we don't have a stereotype. And we can just see the person as having God-given gifts that are just as equal as people we've always thought in leadership. Lisa, thank you so much for sharing those thoughts. I really enjoy talking with you. Is there anything you would say as we close to anyone who's listening?
I just think, let's just love each other. I think President Monson gave a talk that Sunday in April when we were in Salt Lake. I think it was on Saturday after the priesthood session or during the priesthood session. Anyway, it was broadcast on Temple Square, and he just gave this beautiful talk. Maybe it was on Sunday morning. I can't remember now. Anyway, but he just gave a beautiful talk about how we should just love each other and care about each other, and regardless of what we think. I mean, I still love everybody in my ward, even if they don't, or in my family, even though they don't agree with me. Mm-hmm. And we can still care and love about each other and have a difference of opinions and accept each other for who we are.